Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the BC members call on the 16th of November, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio page, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Hi, this is Sajda Lushtuki from Disney.
Claudia Sally, AT&T.
Margie Milam from Facebook.
Denise Michelle from Facebook.
Allison Simpson from Arc Monitor.
Thank you. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Andrew Mack. You may begin.
Great. Andrea, thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who is on the call and was able to be flexible to move forward an hour. Really very much appreciated. It was also, as a personal note, it was also great to see so many of you in Abu Dhabi. I think the BC was unusually effective at that meeting, and I know a lot of people put in a lot of time, including with some of our some slightly unusually scheduled meetings. We had that one crazy day with five or six meetings in a row, and everyone showed tremendous grace and tremendous perseverance in dealing with the entire GAC showing up at our lunch, and we had very positive meetings with NPUC and others. And so thank you all for your time and your efforts and for coming together and a lot of really hard work. I know we've got a lot on the plate, and so I'm going to turn it over to Steve. For those of you who are in countries that celebrate Thanksgiving, a personal note of thanks to all of you, and a chance to reflect a little bit on both what we've accomplished together as a team and what the BC has accomplished as part of the ICANN community. Thanksgiving for me is always is a good time to reflect back on those kinds of things. And so much appreciation for all of your work together. Steve, over to you, please.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrea is loading the updated policy calendar. It's updated because I sent it this morning with initial drafts on two of the open public comment periods. In channel one, I'll skip directly to the open public comments since we haven't posted anything new since our last call. Andre, I think you're controlling the scroll. I would ask you to make it larger on Adobe. Oh, thank you. You've just given us our own. So let's scroll down to number one. Number one on the open public comment is ICANN inviting commentary on the draft budgets for IANA and for the public technical identifiers. These are two entities within ICANN that were formed as a result of the IANA transition. These comments close in about 10 days, and fortunately, we have for your review a draft comment. It's attachment 3 to the policy calendar. And let me thank Jay Sadowski and Jimson Olufwe for drafting that. Their comment is largely about the presentation that ICANN used in presenting the two budgets. There's only about a 10% increase in the IANA budget and a 25% increase in PTI from 300K to 400K. So it's not a significant increase for the larger one, but we do want to be able to comment on it. Now, Jimson and Jay Sadowski did the work on this on the line as well. Jimson also sent me additional edits this morning after I had already packaged up today's update. So I'll send those around after the call. Since we only have 10 days until this comment period ends, it's a great chance for BC members to ask Jay and Jimson about the draft. And again, it's attachment number 3 to the policy calendar. While I wait for a hand to go up, Jay, is there anything you'd like to add about the draft you and Jimson have prepared?
Thanks, Steve. This is Jay Sadowski for the record. The only real thing I wanted to add about the draft is I think that the biggest thing that we asked for really was more granularity in the budgeting process. You know, they're doing the typical ICANN thing of $100,000 intervals. But it's pretty hard to track what's actually going on in smaller budgets at those kind of increments. And then Jimson had some wonderful suggestions about how they could actually make their executive summary an executive summary, because right now it's not really a summary at all.
Steve, are you still there?
Yes, Andy. So I'll send another update later today, and BC members will have 10 days to reply. Number two is rationale in the target level for ICANN's reserve fund. This is an important conversation about how the rationale and the level we're going to have for how ICANN sets aside reserve funds to cover its operating costs. This comment period ends November the 30th. Jimson, Jay, and Marilyn drafted a comment for you to review. It's attachment number one on today's policy calendar. You can open that if you wish, and you'll see what they've come up with. They're suggesting that there be a separate enhanced reserve fund targets specifically related to PTI and IANA, and those are the budgets I discussed in our first comment. And we said that the reserve fund should have its own standalone policy and be binding on ICANN to ensure that they fund it as a matter of budget priority. I think those are important and bold statements from the BC, and fully support those. Are there any questions for the drafters, or do the drafters have any comments they want to add? Okay, thank you. Let me move on to number three.
Steve, sorry. Yeah, this is Jimson.
Go ahead, Jimson.
Just another important point members need to put with regard to our comment on the reserve fund. It has to do with the route zone maintenance agreement with VeriSign. Because it's the core of the internet itself. So we are recommending that at least the reserve fund should exceed the 12-month period currently in view. So for that particular function, it should extend up to 36 months to take care of any possible exigencies due to the important nature of that particular task. So just wanting this member to know that's also part of what we recommended. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. The recommendation of the drafters is to go to 17 months and not just 12 months, and I think that's appropriate. Any other comments? Let me move to number three. The internationalized domain names, or non-ASCII character sets, are being implemented. The implementation guide is being updated. This is a comment period that closes December the 10th. Andy Abrams, Paul Mitchell, and Olga volunteered to help draft, and Andy created a first draft before he headed off on a little break. I attached that. It's attachment two to the policy calendar, attachment two. I do expect Paul and Olga to weigh in on that, and when they do, we'll issue an update. That comment period is not till December the 10th. Are there any questions or comments from BC members on the IDN implementation guidelines? The BC is paying attention to this to the extent that letters in other non-ASCII scripts can appear very similar to Latin scripts, and that can cause visual confusion, sometimes intentional visual confusion. And if it is, it'll be used for purposes of defrauding consumers or end users. Great. Number four. The proposed recommendations to enhance the accountability of ICANN through diversity. This is the first of four open public comments related to work stream two coming out of the IANA transition. As you recall, the bylaws we adopted in October of 2016 included nine specific projects known as work stream two. The work stream two projects were then executed by members of the cross-community working group and their recommendations are out for public comment as well as approval by the chartering organizations of ICANN. If their recommendations are approved, there is an overwhelming obligation for ICANN's board to accept and implement the recommendations. It's far higher bar than any recommendations that come out of GNSO or recommendations that come out of a review team. And this is baked into the bylaws. So these are our one shot to impose upon ICANN.org the kind of accountability improvements that we would not otherwise get through other community-driven processes. So now that I've elevated your sense of importance for this, I'm going to continue to solicit volunteers. Item number four is the recommendations to enhance ICANN's accountability through diversity. Fortunately, we have many volunteers so far, Mark Jimson, Andy, Christian Bope, Marilyn Tolan-Waudo. And this will be due the 15th of December, and I realize that's a month away, but I would ask the drafting team to get started right away on some on a draft that we can circulate for member review. Number five, proposed recommendations to improve the Ombudsman's Office within ICANN, another Workstream 2 project. Jimson, I think you were a participant and observer in the Ombuds group, and their recommendations are modest, but they definitely deserve some attention. So I would encourage any BC member who's had experience with the Ombuds Office, either within ICANN or at other organizations, to please volunteer to help the BC come up with comments on this. Do I see any volunteers or have any comments right now?
Yeah, Steve, I'll be in for that to provide some input.
Thank you, Jimson. Appreciate that. Any other volunteers? Marilyn, your hand is up. Marilyn? All right, your hand is down. Any other volunteers?
Sorry, I lowered my hand so I could speak. Is that okay?
Go ahead. Sure, go ahead, Marilyn.
Just to verify the protocol, when I'm recognized, it's okay if I lower my hand, but I still get to speak, right?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Oh, thanks. I do have experience. And would be happy to work with others who have experience. So just to put my name in whatever that pod is.
Thanks, Marilyn. It's number five there on channel one, which is the Ombudsman. So it's you and Jimson so far. Any other volunteers to help Marilyn and Jimson? Marilyn, hand is up. Is anything you want to add? Okay, great. Thank you. Number six is recommendations, again, Workstream 2, and it's on ICANN's staff accountability. This one came out of left field during the initial transition. This notion is the staff accountable to the community, or is it accountable to management? Well, it's some crossover between the two, particularly staff that works with us on working groups. So a group was formed, and Avri Doria, who's now on the ICANN board, was, I think, the leading rapporteur in that group. And they've come up with some rather modest, simple recommendations to improve transparency and accountability of the work that staff does. This will be due in January, early January. So a lot of us have worked closely with ICANN staff, and we even have some former ICANN staffers on the BC right now. It's a relatively modest comment, wouldn't take much to go through. Can I get any volunteers who would help to work on that one? Number six. At the very least, I would hope that we could ask Margie and Denise, as former ICANN staffers, to just give it a review. And even if you just point out to us areas in there that you think are good ideas or unworkable, others on the BC could do the writing. But we'd certainly appreciate your guidance as former ICANN staffers. Marilyn, your hand is up.
I just had a question. It's Marilyn Cade. Could we be – I didn't really fully appreciate this until I looked at the link. And I think this is worth at least a discussion among BC members. Margie and Denise are, you know, they come from the staff, but there are a lot of us also who have worked with staff, and I wondered if we might even propose a discussion so we could then develop our comments. Staff accountability is a kind of an interesting issue because it implies that the staff is accountable to the community even when they're having to report to the board or to the senior staff. And I think it's worth our kind of thinking through this with some expert advice.
Thank you, Marilyn. The focus of the group, they said, was to assess the staff accountability and performance at the service delivery level, and that is the departments in the organization, and they're not looking at the individual staff personnel level. The recommendations they made are just over 2 pages of this 8-page document, and I think the first thing we want to do is to have anyone with any level of interest in it to read that recommendation and see whether the recommendations in there deserve support or modification from the BC. So, Marilyn, I'll put you down as one of the interested parties. Any others?
Steve, this is Margie. I'm not in the W room. I'll help. I just don't really want my name on the as one of the authors because it's been so soon that I've left staff.
I assumed as much, Margie. Thank you very much. If folks like you and Denise can give us some guidance, we won't list your name as one of the BC contributors. Marilyn and I and others could do the actual writing, but we'd love your insights. Thank you. Okay, 2 more. Number 7 was recommendations on ICANN's jurisdiction. This is also Workstream 2, and this is a big one. If you recall, during the transition itself, there were a small minority of CCWG members who wanted to change where ICANN is incorporated in order to accomplish what they felt would be greater independence of ICANN from the influence of the U.S. government or from any government. The work of this group has been torturous to follow, and there's several of us on this call that were part of the jurisdiction group. In the end, the recommendations are very modest but impactful. First thing they tackled was the idea that a government that issues sanctions against individuals and other governments could actually limit the ability of those individuals to participate in ICANN's multi-stakeholder process. It might limit the ability of ICANN to do contracts with registry applicants for new GTLDs or registrars that want to come into play in a certain country that might be the target of sanctions. Now, the U.S. government sanctions, which are known as OFAC, are only one of many. Many other governments, Europe included, impose sanctions as well. And those sanctions can get in the way of the multi-stakeholder process and a private sector-led organization like ICANN. So the recommendations in here talk about obtaining both specific and general sanctions relief from the U.S. and other places. The second recommendation has to do with when a registrar and a registry sign for a contract, giving them a menu of choices they can pick for the venue for adjudicating any contract issues, as opposed to assuming that it should be California law. This would be an opportunity to select other venues that are mutually agreeable to ICANN and the contract party when it comes to contract adjudication. So I could really use some help from lawyers in the BC who understand the process, and in particular, anyone who's been affected by sanctions. And that could be the core of a BC team that would review and comment on this. Do I have any volunteers? Again, legal experts and those who've experienced national government sanctions. Marilyn?
Steve, thank you so much for raising this. I'm just going to, in the CCWG auction proceeds, we're just beginning to take this topic up. I'm not a lawyer. I'm married to two, should not be disclosed to the world, okay? I hope that was a joke. But I think this issue has some broader implications. I'm hoping that some of our corporations that are trying to do business globally can contribute to this, but perhaps also some of our SMEs that are at a ground level can also contribute. I think it's a really important topic, and I don't know how much I can contribute, but at least in the CCWG auction proceeds, this topic is coming up, and it would be good to have guidance from the BC in further examination.
Thank you, Marilyn. The recommendations in here won't be troublesome for ICANN's board to approve, but the controversy over this is that individuals on the working group from India and Brazil would prefer a broader examination of jurisdiction to include the possible relocation of ICANN to a different legal regime. And that dissatisfaction they have is that they were alone in the group. There was only a tiny minority who thought that jurisdiction should make recommendations on moving ICANN. So given that, the controversy won't show up in the actual report itself, but only in a minority report. At this point, I believe the BC can focus on what the consensus report was and comment on the sensible recommendations that are in there. And that would be this assignment. So I see that Marilyn has volunteered. Anyone else who can help with jurisdiction? A lot of you were observers of that group. Okay, thank you. I have one more on this calendar, and then we'll move on. It is on operating standards for the specific reviews. The specific reviews are those four reviews baked into the ICANN bylaws now for who is security, stability, resiliency, the new GTLD program, and we also looked at accountability and transparency, the ATRT. Those four reviews used to be in the affirmation of commitments, but it was the BC as part of stress test 14 that brought them in during the transition to be part of ICANN bylaws. Staff and ICANN's board wanted to keep to a minimum the details that are in the bylaws and to allow staff to propose operating standards that live outside of the bylaws. And those operating standards would govern how these reviews are conducted. I think that's a generally good idea. So for the first time, after a couple of years of waiting, we've gotten a look at what staff is recommending. And, you know, they're very sensible. Sensible standards for how the review teams come together, do their work, interact with staff, publish their results. There was, however, one recommendation that really caught us by surprise, and it was a recommendation to form a different community group a year before the review begins and have that group define the scope of the review. In Abu Dhabi, I made comments on that because I believe that is unwelcome and an unnecessary intrusion into the role of the team itself when the team comes together. So my comment is there in the policy calendar. I made that comment on my behalf, not on behalf of the BC, but I would hope that it could form part of what the BC does in response to these operating standards. There were several of you who volunteered to help draft. It's not due until the 15th of January, but we ought to get started on that. Are there any other volunteers who would want to help? Jimson, when you said plus one, were you volunteering to help with jurisdiction or agreeing with something someone else said?
With jurisdiction, Steve.
Yeah, so you're volunteering to help draft.
Primarily with jurisdiction, yes.
Right, but as I indicated, there was only a minority report. It isn't in the recommendation, so we don't need to comment on the notion of moving ICANN. You can if you wish, but it's not part of the recommendations. Marilyn, I'll add you to the list for the operating standards. I think you're already on there. Great, thank you. And I can't volunteer Mike Roberts on his behalf. If you can get him on the phone or get him to volunteer, please do. We need the help. Marilyn, your hand is up. Thank you. That's all for the current status of open public
Steve.
Comments. It's a lot.
Steve.
It's a lot of public comments. Susan, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to bring something to the BC's attention, and I had promised to send this around to the BC during the Abu Dhabi meeting, and I forgot, so I just did it this morning. But there is a questionnaire out there on travel. And I'm just putting the link into the chat. I think it would be good, too, if either the BC or members responded to this questionnaire, because they are drafting new travel guidelines, and we want it's travel funding is very important to our group, especially for the smaller entities. So I think we should have a voice in this. So maybe we can put it on the next policy calendar, but I sent it to the BC in an email, and the link is there.
Thank you, Susan. The email will certainly get our attention. Is there a deadline for when they want that questionnaire to be completed?
They said the end of 2017, but it looks like a little bit wishy-washy. So they're going to start drafting the guidelines in 2018. So,
thanks, Susan. Earlier today, I circulated an email to the BC Private, and it comes from Graham Bunton at the Registrar Stakeholder Group. He was following up on a conversation we had in Abu Dhabi about the IRTP, that's the Inter-Registrar Transport Policy, the locks that go on to records that prevent them from being transferred, and the interaction of that with policy, privacy and proxy settings. Those of us that were in that CSG meeting agreed on the principle that if a registrant made a change to their privacy and proxy, that that shouldn't be the kind of change that institutes a 60-day lock on the transfer of a domain name. So given that, we discussed the principle, but now Graham is asking us for help on the process. It's a rather arcane process question about which group should cover the question of whether the locks should be in place for privacy proxy. I am asking now on BC members who have experience with privacy proxy and inter-registrar transfers. Can one or two of you please help examine Graham's email? I sent it to all of you this morning. And give us some advice as to how we should proceed. It's a process question, and those of you with privacy and proxy experience could do it. Susan, thank you so much. I hope it will only take a few minutes to look at that. Okay, I'm going to turn things over to Susan to discuss a little bit on council, but first I thought I would insert, you'll see on the policy calendar, the next section is the GDPR and who is. This is such a big topic that I tried to cover it for all of you by recapping everything that has gone before, along with links to the relevant documents. All that's really happened since Abu Dhabi is that the GAC communique made a very strong statement that the GAC itself is advising the ICANN board to keep WHOIS accessible to the public, and that includes us, businesses and other organizations, for legitimate purposes. They went on to indicate that includes combating fraud and deceptive conduct, infringement and misuse of IP, and due diligence for online transactions and communications. These are the principles and the legitimate purposes of WHOIS that we've always fought for, and the GAC is agreeing with us, and that's going to be helpful. At the same time, we know that ICANN made a unilateral decision to change the way it's going to enforce the registrar and registry agreements to registrars and registries that are affected by GDPR, and they've opened the window between now and next May for some models that could be used for enforcement. To that end, Margie Milam and several other members of the BC and the IPC formed a birds of a feather group to examine whether a code of conduct approach under Article 40 might be another model that could be used to preserve at least most of our access to WHOIS, even under GDPR. To get that going, we organized a conference call. We had it on the 14th of November, and we had BC members Margie Denise, Alex, Mary Ellen, Tim Chen, Barbara Warner, Jay Sadowski, and myself, and we examined different ways forward on diving into the code of conduct. We don't have anything to report significantly because we are doing investigations of the Domain Name Association and ECO, the European or German Internet Association, to see whether their work would help to dovetail on the development of a code of conduct. And Margie, I believe you're going to speak with ICANN. As we get any news out of this group, we'll send it to the entire BC. And again, any BC member who wants to join our little group can just let me know via email. Any questions on GDPR and WHOIS?
Hey, Steve, this is Denise. I'm not in the Adobe room. I'd like to be in the queue.
Please, go ahead, Denise.
Thank you. So in addition to important work on trying to identify a unified way of keeping public WHOIS and complying with GDPR, I think it's important for the BC and other groups to not let the events from the last day of Abu Dhabi go unaddressed. And there's a really bad noise on the line. Can you guys hear me?
We can, but it sounds like someone's alarm is going off.
Okay. If people could mute. Thanks.
Time to wake
so
up.
It was, it was highly unusual for Gorin and for the ICANN staff to make a unilateral sort of declaration of as they did with the compliance or non-compliance statement. And in this case, process matters very much. They ignored a very long sort of tradition and process that staff has of issuing changes, important changes in operations and programs, posting those for public comment. Or at the very least, if they're changing some aspect of how they're implementing contracts, they will issue a notice for information and discussion. And for one of the most important activities that ICANN has undertaken with respect to contracts and who is in more than a decade, it's unusual, to say the least, and to the detriment of the community to do so and ignore explicit requests that there be collaboration and coordination with the community and an opportunity to comment on this compliance statement and this sort of unilateral direction that ICANN has staked out. And in particular, at the bottom of that statement, and Steve has circulated a link, there's a note about criteria and process to come. And that's particularly critical if we're looking at a situation where every registrar in the world can send to ICANN their own model of what they want to do with who is to comply with GDPR. Not only are we potentially looking at a whole patchwork quilt of who is access, but we have no transparency or understanding of what ICANN will unilaterally decide when it comes to the criteria that they're applying or the process that they will use to accept or reject these models. So there's a lot of important issues and activities embodied in that unilateral action, and I would suggest to the BC, and I know other groups are considering this as well, that we get interested people together to write a BC statement laying out what we think is the appropriate community involvement and the appropriate direction on this compliance statement going forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. I pasted a link to the statement. It's also in the policy calendar. And then in the chat, Denise, you can't see this if you're just dialing in, but I put in the key two sentences whereby contractual compliance declared it will defer taking action. So they would call it a deferral, but only if an eligible contract party offers its model. And those models, as they come in, are certainly going to be an opportunity for comment. But I see your point of getting on record now is wanting that process to be inclusive of the community. So besides Denise, are there other BC members who want to take a harder look at that compliance statement with an eye towards developing a CSG, if not BC-only, statement? Any other volunteers? Tim Chen, thank you. This compliance statement is very brief. All of you can quickly read it. If you recall, Joran summarized a couple of paragraphs from it during the BC-sponsored session at GDPR. And Jay Sadowski, thank you, Jay. Okay, that's all I have for Channel 1. Let me turn it over to Susan Kawaguchi on Channel 2 to talk about Council. Susan?
Thanks, Steve. We don't have the agenda for the next Council meeting yet, so there's not much to discuss, but there are two issues that are really relevant right now, I think. One is the Who is Conflicts of Law policy, and I'd have to go back and remember to refresh my memory on exactly how this happened, but the PDP that was supposed to revive that really did not come to any resolution or recommendation that worked, and so the council took it on to we dissolved the PDP and said we'd basically provide some guidance and then and maybe reform another PDP, but it would have to be a quick one. So Keith Drasik has provided draft language for a motion on ways forward for an exemption from WHOIS. And I forwarded that to the BC this morning, and that language. So I would love input on that so that we can ensure that we get the mechanism in place that protects who is and doesn't give a free pass easily. And then the other issue is the SSR2 review team. It is still on suspension. It's still with the SOs and ACs as far as I know. And there was some discussion in the council list of maybe we should just suspend all review teams until we figure this out. Luckily, that was pushed back. So, you know, I will continue to advocate for the SSR2 review team to be unsuspended. And I think we just need to let them get on with their work. One of the things that I was really concerned with in the board session with the SSR2 is one single member seems to be raising significant concerns, but the others aren't. You didn't see that. All the other members were willing to work on things, but the SAC member was very vocal, and it just seemed that he's holding the SSR team review team hostage almost. And I think it's very significant that one community, one organization could have that much, hold that much weight to put six other communities on hold, basically. So we need to make sure those operating standards provide guidance on this, and we also need to push back as much as possible. So any guidance on that for the council, because that'll be a hot topic on the next council meeting.
Susan, it's Steve. I don't think we want to wait till the next council meeting, and it ought to be incumbent upon Heather as the new chair of GNSO. She's one of the SOAC leaders, and this is in the hands of the SOAC leadership. It is not in the hands of the board. And the SOAC leaders, I know we've had some turnover. Heather took over as chair of GNSO. We know that Rod Rasmussen took over as chair of the SDAC. And during the handover on the last hours of the Abu Dhabi meeting, I really feel like the SONAC leaders dropped the ball. They had a clear opportunity to send an unequivocal signal to Denise and the SSR team to use their Friday together and work on the definition of scope, terms of reference, and determine whether they needed skills, because there's a lot of openings on that review team. This all made very good sense, and I had conversations with Patrick and others, Alan Greenberg, who all thought that made sense, but they really dropped the ball in the way they gave instructions to Denise and the team. So if I were you, I would please lean on Heather to take the lead with the other SONAC chairs and get them to get on record at allowing this team to resume its work, define its terms of reference, and let the community know what kind of skills they need, since they have many open slots. So it's not for the board to do this, Susan. It's really for Heather and the other SOAC chairs, and one of them sort of has to take the lead or nothing is going to happen. Thank you.
I agree completely, and I do think Heather is pushing forward to unsuspend the or remove the suspension of the review team. Unfortunately, all of the, as she has put it in the communication, in the email, is most of the other SOs and ACs are continuing rumbling and grumbling, as she characterized it, but provides no substantial, you know, there seems to be a lot of rumors, but no actual concrete information on, besides this one member's, you know, issues. Of the one, you know, Jeff, I think it's Jeff Houston. So, no, I will continue to push on. I just, with Heather, but if anybody else has, you know, besides that, if there's anything else we can do, ideas are welcome. And Andrew?
Yeah, I was just going to second what Steve was suggesting. I was at those meetings in Abu Dhabi, and they were immensely opaque. It wasn't entirely clear what the complaints were half of the time, And I wasn't, we weren't, didn't seem to be very focused on remedy. And I think we to the extent that we can support Heather in calling the question and pushing for some action, if there is a way forward, let's talk about it. If there are specific issues that people need addressing, let's address them, but let's get it out there. And to the extent that we can, I think we want to bolster the strength of the team for sure, but keep the work going. Thanks.
Yeah, remember, we have a new chair of ESSAC, and he's going to be much more sympathetic to these concerns.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, thank you. I think that's it for me.
Barbara, anything you want to handle on CSG liaison, Channel 3?
Sure. No, I can just provide everyone with a brief update as to where things stand on the intersessional planning. We had a call, I guess it was on Tuesday. Again, just to refresh people's memories, this will be on the 1st and 2nd of February 2018. The BC, there is funding for seven-person delegation from the BC, which, bottom lining it, opens up one guest slot for us. So I sent an email out to everybody yesterday. Please let us know if you're interested. We've already heard some expressions of interest, but I just wanted everyone to know about this opportunity. Just briefly, in terms of scheduling updates, we will meet with Joran on the first day. We also have put in a request to have several board members present from the OEC, as they did in Iceland. And the participants this year on that committee are Matthew, George Sadowski, I'm going to mispronounce his name, but is it Khalid Kuba, Avery Doria, Leon Sanchez, and Rafael Lito. And Steve, in particular, intervened and suggested that maybe we zero in on three members to participate, Matthew Shears in particular. We also talked about our, I think, very upbeat and positive meeting that we had in Abu Dhabi as the non-contracted party house. And the sentiment of all involved that, we want to find a way to make things work, want to find areas where we can cooperate, and make for a more effective house. In particular, some of the topics we will delve into at the intersessional, we'll request a session with ICANN Legal and Dan Halloran to talk not only about GDPR compliance, but also legal's response to some of the transparency recommendations. And Michael Karanikolas, who I had the pleasure of working with, and also Chris Wilson on the transparency subgroup, was very interested in exploring transparency issues that will go beyond the Workstream 2 effort. We'll also consider whether we have common ground, what that common ground might be in terms of terms of reference for the next GNSO review. Also hope to work out board language on the selection of board seat number 14. There'll be a discussion of outreach best practices, the new GTLD subsequent procedures update. And then in terms of this budget working group, and again, I invite Jimson to make some comments, it was my understanding that when we were talking about this, it was not so much in Iceland. It was more finding a way for the non-contracted party house to come together with respect to our powers under the empowered community structure to challenge board decisions in terms of the budget, not so much to create a common budget for the non-contracted party house. Jimson, do I understand that correctly? Are you still with us?
Yes, this is Jimson. Yes, Barbara, you got it correctly. Essence of something in the contracted party house with respect to budget is because of the empowered rights we have right now in the empowered community structure. So there is need for some form of streamlining of respective budget view so that rightful function can be properly performed when that time comes. So you're right, Barbara.
Okay. Great. Okay, so we'll have another planning call in 2 weeks. I also just wanted to acknowledge that I am in receipt of Marilyn's email, and during our next planning call, I will put in a very strong request to have a remote participation available for those who cannot participate in person. And I, as a matter of fact, I will probably communicate that to ICANN staff in advance of the planning call so we can have that as an agenda item. So that's it, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Barbara, this is Andrew. My hand's up and I'm not sure you can see. Just two quick words, three quick words, actually. One is that I wanted to compliment the BC. I know that that meeting was at a kind of an awkward time for everyone, and it was unclear whether we were going to get enough people in the room. You really exceeded all of our expectations by showing up, by being really engaging, and frankly, by being really collaborative with NCPH. And I think that the meeting went immensely well. I was struck by the fact that we have a lot of points of overlap, and that there was a lot of opportunity to build and strengthen that relationship, which hasn't been always so great. So congratulations to everyone. And a special thanks to Barbara, because I know that that was a really, really hard meeting to schedule, and you spent a lot of time trying to find first a cocktail that we could do it, and then a place that we could do it, and then a time that we could do it. And much of the work in getting these things set up goes unnoticed. And I happen to know, because we talked about it, that was a really hard one to get done, and thanks for it, because it turned out to be a very valuable meeting.
Thanks very much, Andrew. And I was, very, very pleasantly surprised. We were expecting nobody to show up, and long and short, the media center was packed. So it was great. That was great. And I thank everybody for their support in attending that. So that's it for me.
Great. Barbara, thank you very much. We're a little on the short of time side, so Jimson, you want to jump in real quick about invoices and new members and welcome our new members?
Okay, thank you. This is Jimson Luffy. Well, we don't have invoicing issues anymore. Because all members got in the invoices and paid the except one that has an issue with the office process and needed for a little time, and ESCOM is fully aware. So thank you all for your patience with regard to settlement of views. On the new members, yes, we have three new members after the Abu Dhabi meeting. I'd like to welcome again the CEO of the Brazilian Software Association, who was with us in Abu Dhabi, that is talking about follow you. Welcome. Please feel free to always have a question on the call. Also to welcome the CEO of Diamond Securities from Cote d'Ivoire, Laikana Koulibaly. Laikana Koulibaly was with us in Abuja during the DC outreach. Thirdly, I'd like to welcome Mr. Tunde Ogunde from Nigeria, Mark Stone Technologies Limited from Nigeria. So also to commend the Credential Committee for the hard work in the processing new applicants. We have a number of the process, and we're waiting them to finalize their process to the payment of their bills. On elections, due to sudden withdrawal of fields, as you do know, the ESCOM decided that the election period should be extended by 2 weeks. You already have the notification. But of course, the issue of whether small business or large business is a requirement for a council opposition has been taken care of. There's nothing like that, actually. There is no provision for that in our charter, either for small or large. But we do have such provision for non-com. So anyone is free to be nominated and to accept a nomination for that vacant council seat. So based on the revised election timetable, we were looking at say December to wrap up December 20th to wrap up all the election process, and precisely December 19th, December 20th, the announcement will be made. So we are looking forward to finishing our threshold for the election so that new officers can take their seats on January 4th. For councillor that can take his seat immediately.
Excuse me, this is Andrew. That the last couple of lines got really muddy. Your phone line's a little bit unclear. Could you repeat what you just said?
Okay, sorry. I was saying that by December 19th, we'll be through with the election, and then by 20th, the announcement will be made, and that by January, new officers will take their seat, January 4th, 2018. But the councillor, once the successful councillor is announced, the successful councillor can participate in the council meetings right immediately. That is what I said. And I said it's still fitting, the 2 week extension still fitting in the with the time limit for officers. Because it's one calendar year and it ends by December 30th. So we're still within the framework, even with the 2 week extension.
Can I make a suggestion, my friend? Because the line is not super clear, and I know that some of this is stuff that you are either sending or have sent in emails. Is it possible for you to resend the schedule, just the updated schedule, so everyone knows, to the BC private list, along and allow people to come back if there are any questions? Because I think most of what you just were saying was about scheduling, and I want to make sure that I see Steve's hands up. I want to make sure that if we have any other business, we also have a couple of seconds for it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. It's all right.
Thank you. I'm sorry. It's just that the line keeps coming, at least from my side, coming in and out, and it's a little hard to hear. Steve, you had a hand up. Do you want to jump in real quick?
I wanted to offer, on behalf of all of the officers in the BC, to do confidential communications with any BC member that would like to think about running. We have 12 more days of an open nomination period. And if any of you are just thinking about running for policy coordination chair, I want you to feel free to reach out to me, and I can explain a little bit about how the job is done, how many hours you should expect, and both the rewards and the challenges of doing the job. I do want to encourage others to stand. This is how we attract new leadership into the BC. So all the officers are open to take your questions, inquiries, and to give you encouragement to stand for BC elections. Thanks, Andrew.
Great. Thank you, Steve. I absolutely on behalf second that. And if there's any way that any of us who have served or are serving can be of assistance to you as you are thinking of running, we are interested in having, obviously, more people interested and more people knowledgeable about the process. Jensen, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on, or does anyone else have any other new business? I know we're at...
Yes, I don't know. This is Jensen. I don't know if the line is clear right now.
Just a tiny bit. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, the other thing I wanted to mention is regard to outreach, and I'm to thank Andrew Mack, that is the chair, Mary Lee Cage, the outreach committee members, both in Nigeria, and then ICANN staff like Chris Muldini, Richard Lam, and Pedro Njunu,
for their engagement at the BC outreach that took place in Abuja in conjunction with the AFICTA Summit. Lawrence, Ariola, Tola, all BC members, Marcos, they played a very active role. We had more than 100 participants at the event. The message was well received, especially from all speakers. So that's just what I would like to add. Thank you very much again.
Great, Jensen, thank you very much. It was an honor to participate, and I know on behalf of all of the BC participants, we thought it was a terrific event. Now it's our third or fourth of these that we have been connected to. We're hoping to continue to see strong member development, not just in Nigeria, but across the continent, and AFICTA is certainly a big part of that. I'd also like to compliment Jensen and the conference team. Continuing to get ICANN's participation and leveraging their resources is the way that we can continue to do more on outreach and broaden our base and, frankly, get them more on our, you know, on our team in terms of building outreach. And I know this happened with our event in Brazil, our events in Brazil that were so successful, and now in Nigeria, and I think that's a great model for us going forward. Anyone else before I close the call? I know people have hard stops at 11 o'clock, and it is now 10:59. Last call. Okay, then. Let me thank you all again for a great call. Thank you, Steve, for getting us through a very dense policy calendar. Happy Thanksgiving to those of you who have the time to put your head up and, you know, say hello to your families and all that kind of thing. And we'll be speaking soon. If you, again, to echo Steve's point, if you are thinking of running or if you'd like to know more about the process, please do reach out to people who are in management or in leadership or who have been. We're all happy to help you. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Harvey, if you can please stop the recording. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.